Blog Talk Radio.
Healing Lot Show. We have guest
Bethany Shummet, and she has a worship band, and she's going to be giving us her testimony and really talking about how the Lord has really blessed her in her life. How you doing, Bethany?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, good morning. Incredible day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day out there. The sun's up, and I think it's going to get a little warm, and it probably won't get too warm, but a little warm, it's all good, you know. But we're going to get right into the interview here. Now, Bethany, I'd like to start with your testimony, if you could start there.
Sure. Well, I'll try to make it the condensed version. It would take a while, but I grew up in Lakeland, Florida, and I grew up in church. I wandered away from God probably around 17 years old. I was a teenage mom. I had my daughter when I was 18, and through a lot of twists and turns and just mistakes, I was married and divorced before I was 20, just not living for the Lord. I had moved to Pennsylvania. I was playing music professionally. And right after I turned 30, I met my husband. He was my guitar player. And we played, he had also been playing secular music his whole life. And that's basically what we both did for a living. And I believe it's been 2009, I auditioned for the final season of Nashville Star. I don't know if you guys remember that show. It was on, the last season it was on NBC. And they flew me out to Nashville. And while I was in Nashville, I was sequestered in a hotel room. And I just, for some unknown reason, I can't even remember what it was, I got the Gideon's Bible out of the nightstand in the hotel, and I started reading the Bible again after years and years of being away from the Lord. And little did I know, God was back home in Pennsylvania working on my husband, and he got out his Bible after being away from the Lord for years and years. And we were both, I can say now, looking back, we were both addicts. We were both alcoholics. We both had a problem with drinking and substance abuse. And so when I got back from taping the show, we decided we were moving. So thought we were moving to Nashville. My parents live in a little town in western North Carolina, and it's right outside the Cherokee Indian Reservation. And we decided to come here first. My husband Carl was going to move to Nashville and start working. And that's when the economy collapsed. I don't know if you guys remember that. You couldn't find gas anywhere. It was crazy. So God, yeah. Basically, it was our, I call it our shipwrecked time. It's kind of like with Paul. We were shipwrecked here and stuck in the mountains, nowhere to go. The job that he had secured in Nashville fell through because they put a hiring freeze. So here we are, stuck in the mountains in North Carolina. We don't know. There's no job. Everything we had planned had fallen through, and God had other plans for us. So we began going to church with my mom and dad, and we both made the decision to come back to the Lord. And we've been doing that now for 8 years. Immediately, God put on our hearts that we would never go back into secular music, that we were going to use our gifts to glorify Him. And so we had been doing that for a while, probably about 2 years. And then in February of 2011, I had a baby. He was a year old, and my son Elijah. And we both had got the flu that season. And he got better, and I didn't. And one day my husband went to work, and I started passing out. I couldn't, I just had no energy. So I called him. He took me to the hospital, and my blood pressure was about, I think, somewhere around like 65 over 35. And he took me to the emergency room, and I had double pneumonia. I was really sick. So, but at that point, the doctors told me I needed to be in ICU. So they sent me by ambulance from one hospital to another hospital, and I was in ICU for about 3 days. And on, it was actually February 16th, 2011, I actually died. I stopped breathing, and I was gone for about 8 minutes. They said they had to intubate me and put me on a ventilator, and that took a while. They couldn't. They call it a difficult intubation, and I wasn't. They weren't prepared, but I had gone into complete respiratory failure. My heart failed. It was just a mess.
Yeah, that must have been pretty rough there. Now, when all this happened, what was going on in your life at that time? Was your life at a panic, or was your husband already working at that time, or was he still jobless at that time?
No, we had. It's funny because right after we got here, and we gave our lives back to the Lord. Actually, a man in the church had just walked up to my husband and offered him a job, and he had been there for about a year and a half, I think, at that point. So, yeah,
awesome.
We were living for the Lord, and our ministry was growing, and we had actually, it's funny, the night before I went to the hospital, we had just played at a big youth rally. It was the one of the Church of God's youth rallies in Asheville, North Carolina, at Biltmore Church of God. And we had just done that actually the night before I went in the hospital. So we had done that youth rally, and I was running a fever about 105 that night. So, yeah, we were trucking along for God. I mean, it was going good, actually.
So things just started picking up at that time in y'all's lives. You know, you just started picking up things and putting things together at that time.
Yeah, definitely. It was awesome. I mean, God was doing some major things in our lives. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, what happened from there? I mean, when all that went on.
Well, they when they put me on life support and the hospital I was at, they said they couldn't, there was nothing more they could do. So they airlifted me to Asheville, North Carolina, to Mission Hospital. And they have a neurotrauma ICU. And they thought it was going to be that I needed the neurotrauma ICU because they thought there was going to be lasting damage from being without oxygen for so long. And so they sent me there, and I was actually on life support for 2 weeks. I was in a coma. They didn't think I was going to make it. Told my parents to, you know, my husband to make funeral arrangements. They just didn't think I was going to pull through. And finally, after I think it was 14 days, if I remember correctly, they finally were able to get me off the ventilator and breathing on my own again. And but I was in the hospital for a total of probably about a month and a half. I had gotten a bacterial pneumonia. And it had basically, I had holes all through my lungs. and it was just, it was really, really bad. It was not a good thing to have. And they said that if I did wake up, I was going to need months and months of rehabilitation. When I woke up, I couldn't walk. I had, my speech had been affected. I couldn't talk. They said I probably wouldn't sing again. It was just that the outlook was not good. But God had other plans, that's for sure.
Amen. Well, when did God step in and start correcting things real quick?
Well, it's funny, you know, when I died, I don't remember the 3 days that I was in the hospital. And I think that's important to point out because my husband said I suffered and suffered and suffered for 3 days. I was crying and screaming and I couldn't breathe and it was just a struggle. And he said it was horrible to watch, but I don't remember those 3 days. I honestly feel like God preserved me and I didn't go through that. It may have looked like I was going through that, but all I remember is peace. And then when I finally did, when I coded, when I did die, you know, I had the full afterlife experience. And it's funny because you hear other people's stories and there are a lot of similarities. And, you know, I saw heaven and it's just, it's indescribable. And I've tried to explain it many times in my testimony and it never seems to be enough, just enough words to explain it. But after that, when they brought me back for the 2 weeks I was in a coma, the devil really tried to, I know now that he was trying to get me to give up because our will to live is so important. And once we lose our will to live, it's just, you know, I think it's just a matter of time at that point. And it was kind of like a nightmare that never ended, even though I was in a coma. And at one point after just it seemed like an eternity of this nightmare, I remember my spirit, I just cried out to Jesus and he came and rescued me from that. And that's when I actually woke up from the coma. And, so when I woke up, they knew something was wrong. They thought obviously I had neurological damage and my husband kept asking me, all these questions I didn't know the answer for. I thought I'd been hurt in a car accident. I thought my son was dead. I thought it was just, I know now they call it ICU dementia, but I was just, I had a lot of confusion and I couldn't speak. And so one night we were laying there and this had gone on and on and on. And I had a friend back home who, she had gone into church. It was a Wednesday night service. And she had gone in, and the service didn't even start. She went in, and she walked up to the front, and she said, I want to stand in for Bethany. And so she did, and my entire church prayed over her. And in that moment, I can remember, it was funny, my husband said, he looked over at me, he said, honey, do you know why you're here in the hospital? And just as clear as day, I said, because I had pneumonia. And he said, the look on my face changed. I wasn't confused. God had just completely healed my mind. I started speaking correctly. And it was like all the damage that had been done was healed in an instant. I had no short-term memory. Very little long-term memory. He healed all that. And it was just in a moment when somebody was standing in for me, you know, 80 miles away, and God healed me.
Amen. Amen. I've always heard, you know, if somebody, you know, been to heaven or they've had some experience, they carry a little bit of that back with them. No matter how long they was there, there's a connection there, and you never lose that connection. Do you still feel that connection with heaven from since you've actually been there and back?
I definitely do. I can remember I was very angry when I had to leave. I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like a homesickness. You don't want to leave. And even now, I still go back there in my mind, you know. But I tell you what, it's made losing people a little bit easier. I feel like it's so hard to explain. It really is. It's that feeling of being home. And so when you come back, I think there's this urgency to get everybody there eventually, if that makes sense.
Amen. That's awesome. We're going to go to a small break right quick, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to let Chris Crutchfield interview you for a little bit. But we're going to go right in, and we're going to play I Will Sing by Chuck McDonald.
I
Chuck McDonald, I Will Sing, awesome song there. We're back with Bethany Schmidt, and we're getting ready to start back with the interview. We're going to get into her worship music and how that got started and what type of music she sings and all that good stuff. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Hey, Bethany, I was just going to ask you, like, I guess, what are your thoughts on, like, the transition from, like, going more into your music glorifying the Lord? Can you talk about that just a little bit, like, the importance?
Yeah. The transition from, like, the secular music world into praise and worship and what we do is it was a big change, but it kind of came naturally. You know, in the secular world, it's about entertainment and you know, people hearing what they want to hear, and you kind of have to give that to them. And it's been pretty awesome because, you know, you transition out of that performance-based music into worship. And I know there's still a problem I see, and people have told me, where you see, even in gospel, even in Christian music, and even in praise and worship, there are still people who, you know, it's very performance-based. But what we do is solely worship. It's always vertical. It's always just it's always between just me and God, my husband and God, and it's kind of like this conversation between us and the Lord. And what we hope is that rather than people hear what they want to hear, that they hear what God wants them to hear, what he's trying to say to them. And we just always pray that he uses us to do that. He gives us that opportunity. And a lot of times I've seen people who don't know maybe what it looks like to worship God, and they can see our worship and it helps them find their own personal worship. So it's very different. It goes from a very, you know, personal, it's much more personal with worship.
Yeah. I think the good thing about music is it'll overstep like the denominational boundaries and, you know, just, There's a way that it can kind of reach people, even when they have those different mentalities or mindsets, sometimes
Absolutely.
Religious mindsets and stuff like that. I mean, to me, that's amazing, and that's a great honor to be able to do that, to be gifted in that area.
It definitely is, and there's some people, and I was one of those people. My husband was one of those people. There's some people that just because of life or whatever they've been through, they build up a wall, and sometimes a sermon won't reach somebody, but worship will. Like you said, it's music speaks to a completely different part of you, and sometimes it's those moments of worship that can really cut through to somebody. And I know for me, it's always been in moments of worship that God spoke, I think, the loudest to me and the clearest. So, and not that obviously we have to have somebody bring in the word, and my husband teaches and preaches, and we're under a great pastor, and we have to have that. But I know that for me, it was during worship that I first heard God calling me back home.
In my own experience, just like during times of worship, there's been some incredible times where I've seen visions or you know, there's just a lot. You're giving a lot out of your heart to the Lord.
Yes.
You're honoring him. but there's also a lot coming into you, you know, and I think you're absolutely right on that, that there's things that happen just in those moments in the unseen realm, you know, that we're, I mean, I don't know how to explain
definitely.
All that, but it is amazing.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, as we pour out, God starts to pour back in. And I have absolutely seen that. I've had visions. People, there have been several occasions where, you know, someone came into a service late, and before they even got in the sanctuary, they got healed or they got delivered. It just, there's something that worship does, I believe, to the atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere for God to move, I believe.
That's awesome. I think about that scripture that says we'll enter his gates with praise.
Yeah.
And it's so true. There's like a open door, avenue. Or I don't really know how to express.
The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we begin to praise and we begin to worship, I think he just comes and settles right in. I mean, in a corporate setting. I mean, obviously he lives, the Holy Spirit lives in us and abides in us. It's a moment of invasion, I think, of mass invasion. He comes in and, we were made to worship him. I mean, that's what we were made for. And it's what we're going to spend eternity doing, is worshiping him. So I think it's so important.
I heard somebody say that if you don't like worship, then heaven will be hell for you.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of a funny statement. But it's so true.
Yeah, that we're going to be spending eternity doing that. So you might want to learn to love that.
Yes, it's kind of unique during worship because a lot of people don't understand how that works. Actually, our souls is connected to heaven. I mean, if we've been born again and Holy Spirit lives us, our souls is connected to heaven. And then when we worship, we let that out of us. We're like an open door to heaven that's coming through us. We're the gate that God is coming out. The more you worship, the more that comes out of you. And if you got over 5,000 people worshiping at one time, just think how big that gate is opening to heaven.
It's like I said earlier, you know, about, you know, seeing heaven, it's like being home. Well, that's where we came from. That is our home. That's, you know, well, before we were born, you know, we were in, you know, God had us in mind. That's where we came from. And so you're right. When we worship, I think if we could see things, and again, talk about the visions and things like that, sometimes that is the vision. Sometimes you do get a glimpse of what's happening in the spirit when you do have all those people worshiping God at the same time, because, you know, they're all in one mind and one accord, and it's amazing what can happen when everyone gets in the same place of where, and it can be 5,000, like you said, or it can be five of us, but when we're all doing what we were made to do together, it opens the heavens. It's awesome.
Yeah, I noticed that some of our conferences that we would have, and we would start with worship, and I could feel the presence just coming into the conference because of the Lord. I mean, everybody's coming in together and just worshiping. And I remember we was at the Hickory event last year. Robert and I started worshiping, and I was actually standing outside the door, and I was walking in because I had to get the pamphlets off the door or something, and they started worshiping. I walked in, and it's like, the worship hit me in the face as I walked in the door. I could just feel the presence just hit me.
Yeah.
girl.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, I gotta sit down and get involved in this right quick, and it was awesome. But yeah, anytime you got people that's in tune with the spirit and spirit filled, and you really can feel, and especially these worship leaders that's anointed. A lot of worship leaders is anointed for this, and there's some that ain't. I mean, you can listen to regular radio and you can tell it. I mean,
definitely, absolutely. And that spirit bearing witness, like the word says, it's some people, they're anointed. And I don't think I think for a long time, Carl and I thought, and again, it's coming from a place of performance based music, but it's like, okay, we have to look a certain way and sound a certain way. And then God really changed that for us. He said, you are not going to make the type of music that, it's not going to appeal to just your everyday Sunday worship. It's going to go deeper than that. And it's going to, I had never even heard of prophetic worship before. I didn't even know what that was. Some people, I think, you're absolutely right. They're anointed for it, and some people are anointed for other things, and I think that's okay too. But definitely, that's something that God called us into, and it was hard at first because it does not look like the everyday average, worship. It's a much different place.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know I talked to my buddy Chuck about y'all, and he's like, man, he said, these guys are so anointed. He said, I was crying like a little girl standing there listening to them worship. He said, man, aww, you got to hear them. I was like, they got to come to the conference. I said, I invite them, man.
So, absolutely. So, I love Josh. He's so funny.
Jay, I was thinking about that scripture that says, just where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, in their midst.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, what a great honor that is, just to be a part of worship, and how he's there, and just to have prophetic music coming forth and exhortation, and just it's amazing.
Yeah, I think of it, now that I have two older daughters also. I have a 6-year-old son, but I also have a 21-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old daughter. And, they're grown now. And I love it whenever I get to spend time with them. And I think we forget that he is, he's not just God. He's Abba Father also. And he loves to spend time with his kids, and it's so awesome when we get into worship and he begins to, that's something that I had never experienced before. And that was his heart. And I remember the first time we were leading worship and he began to reveal his heart for me as a daughter, as his child, and not just, him not just as my God, but him as my father. It was overwhelming. I mean, I wound up on my face. It's amazing how much he loves us and how much he loves to be with us. And the scripture in the Bible is just, who are we that you're mindful of us? Like he loves, I just love that he enjoys spending time with us. And once you've had a revelation of that love, it's hard not to want to be in his presence all the time. And we can be.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now when you lived in Florida, what type of stuff was you playing? Was you playing the regular, just regular music, the country or rock?
Yeah,
what were you doing?
Yeah, it was contemporary country. It was,
okay.
Like your Carrie Underwood type stuff, along those lines.
That's cool. Now, with your worship music, does it have some of that mix, that type of sound mixed into it, or is it, you know, can you explain?
Well, it's funny. They say you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl, and that's true. I'm going to be, and when I say Florida, a lot of people don't think that that's country, but I lived in Central Florida, which is mud and bugs. It's as country as you can get, swamps and yeah. So it's, there is definitely, and living here in the Appalachian Mountains too, there's a sound, and I think we tried to get away from it for a while, but then God said no. And of course it doesn't, obviously it's not like country music. But I think there is a sound that speaks to certain people. And it is, you know, normal, everyday, hardworking people. But you know how God is. He crosses economic lines. He crosses generational lines. So it's not one thing, but I think you can definitely tell that we were brought up in the country a little bit.
we all were too, so don't feel bad.
Yeah.
we love that type of music down here. We're all country down here, so it's all good.
Yeah, my husband. If you give him a choice, he's an amazing musician, but he's a chicken picker from way back. So, give him a Telecaster and some Brad Paisley, and he's a happy man. But it's amazing how talented he is, and he played timpani in high school, so he can go from classical music to bluegrass to worship to, he can play just about anything, but he's happiest when he has a, you know, an acoustic instrument in his hand or his Telecaster. So
that's awesome. But you know, it's going to be a blast to have y'all with us at the conference down here in Hickory, North Carolina next week. We're all looking forward towards it. And, you know, we're gonna have some amazing speakers come down there. We're going to have Chuck McDonald, as we was talking about, Robert Hager, myself, and Heath Adams. Heath Adams walks in the anointing. Well, we all, as a Healing Light bunch, we all walk in the anointing. That's just, we have to be that. We promote the power of God, so that's what we're all about. But anywho, come to the event for a touch of God, because you will get it. We had one last year. People was getting revelations. People was getting healed, transformed. That's just a normal thing that happens at our conferences. You know, like we say, bring the sick, bring the blind. If you got brothers and sisters and moms that's not saved, bring them. If you know anybody's been having hard times in their family, bring them. We'll pray over it. Lord knows we all have times like it, and we pray and we watch God move mightily. He moves mountains away from them things. And if there's a mountain over your family, bring them. We'll pray for them. We'll watch that mountain get crushed right over their head. So, you know, the Lord's going to move mightily in that comfort. And, you know, anything that you need a touch from God, just come to enjoy the conference. And, you know, we're all there to really reveal God to you and just listen to some good worship music too from Bethany and Carl. It's going to be awesome. And this conference is going to be at Marketplace Church in Hickory, North Carolina, right off of 127. Kind of thing. If you go down 321, Interstate 321 going towards Hickory, I think it's exit 42. And the exit will say 127 exit. Once you get off, if you're coming from Gastonia towards this exit, as soon as you get off the exit, the 127 exit right there, you want to take your left and keep on going straight. you will see Marketplace Church, Mighty Dollar, Dollar Stores right beside of it. All of it's in the same same thing right there. Marketplace Church actually bought two stores up. Two stores shut down. They bought the whole thing and made a church.
Wow.
So, yeah, and they got the event hall right beside the church. I say Marketplace Church because the event hall is connected to the church, and we tried to put the address for the event hall, and people kept on getting lost. So we just say the church, which it is a part of the church. So just look up Marketplace Church, and if you're going 321, get off the 127 exit, and just take your left off the exit, and it should take you straight there. If you're coming from Hickory, look for the 127 exit. You would want to turn, you'd want to turn right. You want to turn right. So just go there. You'll see the Mighty Dollar and a bunch of other little stores down there. Right there beside the Mighty Dollar will be Marketplace Church and then the event hall. The event hall is right beside of the Marketplace Church. And you'll see us there. I'll try to have a sign there on the door. And it's a beautiful event hall. We really enjoy it every year. Everything is set. We love it because everything is already set up. Only thing you got to do is just go right in there to it and hook up your stuff. So we really enjoy that. And it's not many places like that. My buddy Heath, he goes there and does some of his events there too. But anyway, we're really expecting the move of God there. And like I said, this is going to be Saturday, March the 12th at 5 p.m. At 5 p.m. We're expecting to go about 10 o'clock, so we got a lot of speakers. So, you know, try to get there a little early if you can. Get you a seat and, you know, get where you want to be because everybody always has their special seat and they like to sit. Get there a little early where you can get your seat and get comfortable. And we'll have some water there for you, whatever, where you can get to talk to people that you probably know is coming in there. But, you know, come enjoy yourselves. And I really invite anybody that's listening, just come on down. And if you need to know anything, just give me a call at 828-461-3604. My number again is 828-461-3604. And if you have any problems, just give me a call. It's totally free. There's no charge. There's never a charge to our conferences. We try to keep it as low as we can. We do invite some of the speakers to bring ministry tables to promote their ministry if anybody wants to buy like a t-shirt or a book or something to help their ministries, but we do not charge for the events, and that's very rare at conferences nowadays. So it's we try to do the best we can for the body of Christ, and as we all know, you know, it does get kind of expensive putting these things on because you got rent, you got a lot of things you got to stand up for, but a lot of times we try to suck it up sometimes and take it in. We do take offerings. I mean, if y'all feel like you want to give to our ministry, we do take offerings during the conference, but that's about all we do. And, you know, just come on down. And like I said, Heath, Chuck, Robert Hager, and myself, and Bethany Carl is going to be there entertaining and revealing the Lord to everybody. And it's going to be an amazing day in the Lord. And I don't miss it. And we also got another. Yeah, it's going to be a blast to see you guys down there next week. And we do have another one coming in Florida. It's at Sarasota, Florida, and it's going to be called the Pentecostal Conference. It's presenting the Pentecostal Conference. We're going to have some speakers down there too. Heath. One's going to be here. He's going to be there. Chuck will be there. We're going to have some local guys down there in Florida. John George, he's in Deliverance. Joshua B. Frafontaine, he works in a prophetic. He's going to be there preaching. And this is going to be at the Marriott, the Country Yard Marriott at Bradenton, Sarasota, Florida. Riverfront Boulevard, Bradenton, Florida. It's also free. If anybody wants to come and make that your little spring vacation, let me know. I can get you a percentage off of your room. The normal rates for them rooms is $200. I can get it down to $179 since our conference is there. Just get a hold of me, at 828-461-3604. I can call in for you and get you that discount if anybody wants that discount. Like I said, these events are free. There's no charge to come to the event. If you live in the area, come on down, expect for a move of God, and, you know, bring the sick, you know, bring the unsaved, show up and let God move. The Lord has really put on our heart to make this one the Pentecostal conference. So there's going to be some people getting baptized in the fire. So it's going to it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I've never did one like this. The Lord put that on my heart to do this. I was like, how am I going to do that? And he's like, you ain't going to do nothing. I'm doing everything. So it's going to be awesome. We don't know what's going to happen, so we're just going to do what we do and let the Lord show up, do what he does. So it's going to be awesome. And that's the only one we have so far. We are got one coming in Florence, South Carolina. We don't got that completely set up, and that will be announced, I'll say, within a month or two. And me and Chuck is working on that one. So stay tuned, and we'll get to y'all about that. But I want to thank you, Bethany, for coming on and getting interviewed.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
And it's been a blast to hear your testimony, and I'm sure his testimony is going to touch a lot of people.
Well, I hope so. That's always our goal, is just that somebody would, you know, draw a little bit closer to the Lord.
And if you can, could you do a closing prayer?
Absolutely. Lord, I just ask you right now, touch Stan, touch his ministry. I just ask that you would be with us at this conference, God, that we would see miracles, signs, and wonders. God, you said that those things would follow those who believe, and that those who come in your name, God, we love you. We just want to see your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven, God. We know it's your will for the sick to be healed. We know it's your will for the captive to be set free, God. So we're just praying, we're expecting for these things this next weekend. We ask that you would just put a hedge of protection around your people this week, God. Get us there safely. God, ask that you just draw people. Let there just be a supernatural drawing, that people would just want to come to know you more, to be in relationship with you, not just to walk in being a believer, but to actually to walk in the Spirit, to take you with them. God, we just ask that the fragrance of your Holy Spirit, that we carry that with us wherever we go this week, and that you would place someone in our lives every single day that we can tell about you, that we can introduce you to them, God, and that you would just use us all in a mighty way for your kingdom. We just ask your blessing upon everybody this week within the sound of my voice, and that you would just hear us when we call out to you, God. We know you do. We love you. We thank you. We honor you. And it's in your name we ask these things, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. And I do want to also remind everybody that if anybody has Roku on their television, we are on the Cowboy Church channel. Look up North Carolina Healing Light Show. Check out some of our shows also. And this conference will be on there. When all this stuff is said and done, we will have clips from this conference. Don't miss that. And you'll get to see Bethany on there, too. It'll be awesome.
Awesome.
it's gonna be cool. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show. It's a blessing to have people listening to our stuff. And I do want to ask anybody that has not accepted the Lord, it's never too late to accept the Lord. And I ask whoever is listening to this show that's right now has not accepted the Lord to say this prayer with me. Maybe today, you know, today could be your day for the Lord to come into your life to say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask for forgiveness for all I have done in my past. I hand all my sins to you, Lord. And I accept, I accept that you died on the cross for me. And I accept that you rose on the third day for me. And I accept you live in my heart for eternity, Lord. Lord Jesus, just come into my life. I accept you into my life for now and eternity. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you just said this, Lord Jesus has just came into your heart. Lord, I ask you just to bring your presence upon them and just reveal things to them that they need to do. And I do ask everybody to get baptized in water and get baptized in the Spirit too. Maybe he'll do it right then and there.
I could just
go ahead and pray for that too. You just pray this prayer and you accepted the Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to come upon them in power and baptize them now with the Holy Spirit. Come upon them now. Fill their bellies with rivers of living water. Lord, just come upon them now. Anybody that's listening that has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, just give them a refill right now. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Fill them up with the fire, Lord. Just fill them up with the fire. Fill their bellies up with your rivers of living water. Just fill them up now, Lord. Fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give them a refill. Give them a refill. Give them a refill. There you go, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And we're going to go ahead and close this show right quick. And, you know, like I said, I want to thank everybody for listening. And we'll see you all next time. God bless.